change the subject rather than the object.
To change how your life is received rather than change the conditions, which we're not in control of. And so it's all about method. There's 10,000 traditional texts, at least. That's the kind of Bible of the Buddhist teaching. And it's not about the history of a people, like the Tanakh. It's instructions. So they've come to us today. And so we're talking really about practice, about way of changing our consciousness so that our experience of moment by moment daily life is radically transformed. This is based on a deep understanding of the kind of existential problem of the human being. And I just want to mention two stories that are in the text that give an example. So it's about practice, but it's also about the existential situation of a human being. And there are two stories, two parables. One is a parable called the parable of the river. And it's basically a man in a boat. The river is taking the boat. And the man is being swept in the boat down the river. As it passes, he grabs onto a willow tree to try and hold on. But he can't. And he can't hold on. And the boat carries on. He grabs onto a cane plant, busim, but he can't hold on, and the boat carries on. And he grabs onto an oak tree, and he can't hold it. The boat pushes him away, and he grabs onto this, 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 and he can't, none of them, he can't hold on to any of them. None of them really save him. And the parable is that we're kind of clutching. And in the text it says we're clutching on things that we want, that we think will save us. And they're all things from the senses, hachushim. They're things that we want. They're things that we think, oh, if I hang on to this, a better job, a better relationship, a better school, a better life, a better flat, a better bank account, a better car that works. If I hang on to this, everything will be all right. And then it goes, and we cannot. And then the next thing, we hang on to this, we hang on to that. And we're swept like that the whole of our life. And that's the parable of the river. And there's another parable, which is a bit different, but gives another aspect of this. The parable is of a king in his castle. And the king, he knows he's the head of a big kingdom, but he's inside the castle and the walls are thick and everywhere and there's hardly a space in the walls of his castle. And clearly the king is the me that is in, kind of feels it's in control of the world, but actually it's a bit of a prison. Anyway, there's a small window high up on the wall, and the window is open, and a little bird comes flying in and meets the king and tells the king, I have two wings, and the two wings are the wings that will release you. One wing is concentration, or steadiness, and the other wing is awareness, or mindfulness. And so this bird on two wings comes to save the king. So that's basically our practice, is be that bird, that is with the two wings of concentration, quiet, steadiness, and awareness. So I want to talk about those two wings, because they're the practices that will be, they're the keys to the practice all through this weekend and all through our life in a way of practice. The wing of concentration is not such a good word in the Pali and in the Sanskrit, it's samadhi. And samadhi means to gather ourselves, to collect ourselves, to come back home, to find our center, to find the, if you like, the, you know how to put it, the spine of our soul. Amuchi drashalan nishama. There's some basis, ground in us that helps us to be steady, to be constant, to walk steady, step after step. And so that is samadhi. It's consistency. It's being right there. When you're watching a game of football, it's keep your eyes on the ball. So you can do it. Everyone can watch a game of football and for 1 hour, their eyes are on the ball. That's the concentration. That's the steadiness of the... Now, we are practicing with many different objects. 1 minute we are breathing. Next minute we are walking. Next minute we might be eating. The next minute thoughts come, or most of the time thoughts come whizzing by at high speed. So all of that is changing. So we're in a changing world. Samadhi, in this case, is just power to be with whatever arises constantly and continuously. There is another samadhi which is being very, very focused on one thing. Some of you know it from yoga, maybe to a candle or a color. But from our point of view, we're more interested in the kind of samadhi, the kind of collecting ourselves together within a moving life experience. Actually, let's do it for one moment. Let's close our eyes. And I want you I'll take on the clock a minute and a half, and I want you to count how many thoughts you have in a minute and a half. Okay? Close your eyes and count the thoughts. Okay, let's go. Okay, that was a minute and a half. And I hope you enjoyed the soap opera, Opera Sabon, of our mind. But samadhi, in this case, is our power to be able to be steady, even with thought. It's not, as many people think, meditation is about shutting down the mind. If I think, then I'm not meditating. Samadhi is about our ability to keep our eye on the ball, to be right there, to be consistent, to be steady with whatever comes up, and to be right there, moment after moment after moment, with what comes up. And there is an art here which is not too tight and not too loose. Also an image from the tradition. Someone once asked the Buddha, how do you cross the flood? And the Buddha said, by not stopping and by not struggling and fighting the water. So the person asked him, well, how does that work? He said, well, if I stopped, I sunk. And if I struggled, I got swept away. So it's neither stopping nor struggling. And that for us is a key. Too much effort and we'll be fighting ourselves. Too little effort and we'll just go to sleep for the whole weekend. So it's between one and the other. And there is that consistency of practice, to be there with the object of meditation. Or again, more and more and more. The side of the other wing of the bird is mindfulness, and it's the power of our mind. And our mind has a huge power, and we often use it up in the service of our needs, our projects, our computer. And mindfulness is about immediate awareness. It's not about thinking about things. It's about really knowing what goes on, being close to what goes on, being intimate with what goes on. A lot of what goes on, we've forgotten. We forget what it's like to breathe. We forget what it's like to walk on this earth. We forget what it's like to feel the touch of the air on our face. We forget what it's like to really see a thought as it arises and as it disappears. We forget. So mindfulness is about remembering, actually, to look, to see, to be aware, to listen to ourselves, to listen to the voices in us. You know, we were just discussing the translation into Hebrew as kshivut. The word from keshev, kshivut. And it's about being there with, being with what arises, clearly, deeply, being interested in it, being curious about it. If we don't know, we have 30,000 breaths in one day. How many of them do we know? So here we have a chance to say, oh, what's the breath of life in me? I'm curious. How am I with the breath? Can I feel it in my fingers? Well, it's there. So it's deepening the power, it's expanding the power of mind. And part of that is to reduce the agency, the tivuch, the in-between person in between that says, I need to think about this. What's my breath? Well, I've got to go and read a book on my breath. And it's direct knowing. Bli tivuch, without agency. And another aspect of this mindfulness is that we're not busy trying to choose how to be more comfortable. We're just allowing our genuine experience to be there. If it's difficult, it's difficult. If it's easy, it's easy. If it's a rose, it's a rose. And if it's the thorns on the rose, there, it's the thorns. We don't want to be in the same business of all the time fixing our comfort zone. Just allowing things to be what they are. Because that gives us the sense of freedom that we're looking for. It also gives us the sense of quiet, to be with the things as they are, rather than trying to fix them, change them, fight them, and so on. Underneath both samadhi, the wing of the steadiness, and the wing of the awareness of the bird, underneath both is our consciousness. And our consciousness is by itself free. Our consciousness, there's no problem with it. It's just our power to see. Nothing wrong with seeing. It's wonderful that we have a power to see or to know. The problem is the consciousness gets sucked into objects and into missions or projects or in stories or pains or suffering or difficulty. We clutch at this branch, clutch at that branch. But the consciousness itself is no problem. So as much as we can be aware that we are aware, just knowing that we are aware, awake human beings, that's the Buddha eye, if you like. And that's behind everything that we do. And that's the bird, that the whole bird that comes and liberates us. So when we practice, in a way, if we're going down the river trying to clutch at hanging branches, we can just let them go. We don't need to hang on to the branches. We don't need to be saved from the river. Let the river take us. Be interested in the river of life. What's it? Well, how is it? Let it take us. Just let go, you know, just drift down the river in your boat instead of trying to hang on and save ourselves. And on the image of the king, it's also something similar. The mindfulness and the bird comes to the king and says, actually, you're not so imprisoned as you think. There's more windows. Have a look. Look around. What's the walls made of your castle? What are the stones? How are the stones of the castle that is imprisoning you? What does it feel like? What's the colors? What is the walls of the prison? What is the doorway of the prison? What is the windows of the prison? What's outside the prison? The castle. And in the end you realize, well, actually, I'm not imprisoned at all. I'm a king, but I'm free. I can go out of the castle. And then you realize also, who made the castle? It was me. No one else made the castle. I put myself in the castle called my boundaries, my seeing, my world, my this, what I need, what I have to have, what are my interests, my, you know, fears. I put myself in there. There is no castle. I built it. Now I can take it to pieces. But you can only take it to pieces if you see what it is. Otherwise you just sit in your castle wishing to be free outside somewhere. So, we live our life actually from moment to moment. And there is our liberation. There is our life. We just need to open our eyes and see clearly moment by moment experience as it arises. And then we somehow magically find ourselves out of the castle or drifting happily on our boat along the river instead of trying to constantly save ourselves. And if we pay attention to the moments of our experience, this sense of freedom happens by itself. We don't really need to hunt for our freedom, for our well-being, for shalva, for peace. We don't need to hunt for it, because that's being in the same mind as created it. Instead of that, we just need to unblock it. Let go the blocks and the resistance and the cover that we put over, like the walls of the castle of the king. Let go of the cover that we put on our freedom. Just let it go. The cover is all the stuff around us. We watch it, we watch the way we live moment by moment. The freedom arises by itself. It's not something we have to hunt for too hard. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so time is 10 to 9. I think what we'll do is have it takes an awful lot of time for 100 people to go out of here, put their shoes on, take a breath of fresh air and come back again. So there's no such thing as a short break. So what I suggest we do is take a break inside the hall, move the body a bit, stand up, and just move, because you've been sitting a while. Breathe, just move about, stretch a bit, take a few minutes, and then we'll go into the last sitting with Inbal. Thank you.